Yep, everything's good. All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grim Interviews with Dollhouse Phil. We haven't had Phil on in a long time, but he just won against the Crown. If you may remember the case around the doll there, and of course they destroyed the doll, but now those dolls will be able to be sold again, which is a great thing, you know, especially for all doll owners and fans of the anime look, you know, dolls. So Phil, why don't you go ahead and just jump right into it and tell us a little bit about what actually happened when you were there with this case involving the doll.
Well, hello everyone, Dollhouse Phil here. This is something that stretches back to November, December of 2019, as I may have mentioned in previous interviews. Piper doll 150cm Akira was seized, so I contested the legality of this seizure. And as Grim has mentioned, the police force in question that were holding on to the evidence went ahead and, for whatever reason, destroyed the doll. At one of our cases, we went ahead and pushed for a dismissal of the case because the measurements of the doll, which they had made between HMRC, Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs, and the police were different. So they were saying the height was different. The photographic evidence was basically dog shit. And then they went ahead and destroyed the doll, but for whatever reason, the judge decided not to throw out the case. So I thought things were not going that great for us. Right. I thought the judge, the magistrate, was leading towards a case of perhaps siding with Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs. So anyway, we jump into the latest hearing. And we made our argument, they made theirs, and one of the things they were pushing for was, well, don't you think this looks as though it has a childish face? And I said, well, I wouldn't be here arguing the point if I didn't. And these were points basically made by our lawyers, if you like. And incidentally, they pulled out a set of big guns in this final hearing. Their previous lawyers weren't particularly high ranking or anything like that, and they certainly weren't as good as ours. And I think they saw the difference, so they hired a new guy who was pretty good. Oh, so the customer in question and myself were put on the stand because they thought that we were going to be the weak links in the defense of the case. And as it happens, the customer was actually pretty good. He has a bit of social anxiety and a bit of autism, but he stood his ground really well. And I was quite surprised at a lot of this. Because I was looking at my lawyer, expecting to wince a little bit, thinking, are we allowed to talk this belligerently in court? But he seemed fine with it. So I thought, well, okay, I'll turn off all restraint on myself then. So when they got me up on the stand, start asking me, like, stupid questions, like, do you not think this waist is very small and the hips are also very small? I'm like, no. I mean, anyone who looks at the photograph can actually see that hourglass shape. And then I thought, oh, hold on. So I say to the questioner, excuse me, do you actually mean, is the measurement of these things considered thin? Because if you look at, like, the bust waist hip ratio of this doll, it's got the perfect hourglass figure. So versus the waist, the hips are not thin at all. And this is what you would expect from a mature female. And there were many other such kind of questions where they just try to lead you down the garden path to try and incriminate yourself. But, you know, anyone above the age of 10 could, like, you know, negotiate all of that. Now, a lot of this was just to see if we could hamstring the case. But what we had was much greater than that, because we actually had, like, a pediatrician with, you know, I think it was either over 20 or over 30 years experience. And he actually educates other pediatricians as well. And he was questioned via remote link. And he just backed up everything that we had to say. And one of the things that he used was something called the Tanner scales. And the Tanner scales are basically a measurement of maturity. And what the prosecution were trying to do with the report from this pediatrician on the Tanner scales was to say, well, could this potentially indicate that potentially that this girl could be 14? And he said, this is not what the Tanner scales do, so I can't answer your question like this. What this is a level of maturity. So I can say that this doll, via the Tanner scales, is mature. In theory, biologically, there's a spread that people could be a certain age, but also, if I say could be 14, yes, could also be 22. So, like, this is why I can't answer your question. And the prosecution were trying to hammer this point through with the pediatrician, and he was steadfast and would not be moved, which was great. So, in all but in one point, when the judgment was being made, we kind of won every point except one, in that Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs followed their own rules, so they were following procedure. That was the only reason why I wasn't awarded costs, which would have been significant. That would have been like a flawless victory, but flawless victory minus one, and I'm quite happy to live with that, and therefore money well spent.
Well, okay, so now that the doll is able to be sold and the doll, original doll, was destroyed, how are you going to go about with the customer? Are you going to give the customer another doll, you know, since his was destroyed because of the case? Or
it was discussed during costs. Mm-hmm. That, because when we're talking costs, it's like all of the legal costs that I amassed, having this case.
Right.
But it was accepted that, seeing as the doll was deemed to be of mature appearance and therefore legal, that Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs would have to compensate us for the doll. So I expect like the £1,500 from them, which is, you know, nothing compared to like near £40,000 that I spent on the case.
Right.
But I'll get money from them for that doll, so I'll just order another Akira for the customer.
Well, that's great. That's great. And that was interesting that you said the customer himself was called to the stand. Now that is, and you said he was socially awkward, had maybe some anxiety, maybe some autism. So, yeah, but you got to understand, even, you know, I have, I guess, a touch of autism myself. But, yeah, when it comes to something, when it comes to something of that nature, yeah, I would definitely stand my ground when it came to the court.
I don't think they were expecting what he was going to say was the thing. Do you not think that the height of this doll does not match the height of the average woman? And he was like, nope. So they could only say, well, why is that? 150 centimeters is underneath the height of the average Western woman. And he said, well, yes, but I actually lived in China for 5 years. I had a fiancé. That relationship didn't work out. So when I left China, I was largely modeling this doll on my fiancé. I mean, face notwithstanding, but just general build and stature.
Right.
And that kind of really kicked the prosecution right in the nuts. Yep. They didn't see that one coming at all, and it really didn't do them any good.
Yeah. And see, there's a lot, you know, because of course they're trying to go after Lolicon, which I've actually read some interesting things. There was a Reddit post that was, not a Reddit, it was a Quora post where basically, you know, people just answered various questions. And this guy, I think he was either some form of Asian, either Japanese or something, but he posted pictures of, he said, see this woman here. She looks like she could be about 12 years old, you know, and the woman had a glass of beer in her hand. And they said, no, this is not a 12-year-old child drinking beer. This woman is over the age of 25. This is a, you know, so-and-so celebrity. And then they showed another one where they had a judge, and it looked like a little girl. And they said, no, this is an actress that's well above the age of 21 herself. And people from the West don't understand that people from the East, they sometimes have very immature appearance, but they're fully mature. I mean, they're full adult.
Well, with these things, though, I mean, I don't know if I mentioned that, like, I think it was 2018, I was hauled down to the police station for a conversation with our National Crime Agency.
Mm-hmm.
about a doll which had been seized of mine, which I didn't know about at the time. And they were going through various screenshots from my website. And he said, do you not think this doll looks really young? I was like, well, no, I can see she's kind of going for the little girl stripper look.
Yeah.
But like, that's what I see when I look at that.
Yeah.
And this is the same attitude from what you just said. What the National Crime Agency were trying to imply to me is like, I can see a crime here because this looks like a little girl to me. And, but I would say that's because they're looking for there to be a crime.
Yes.
There's almost like a titillation, if you like, certainly in the UK populace, where they think, oh my goodness, there's some paedophilia that's going on, oh my God, and it sells newspapers and it gets clicks on websites and stuff like that because it seems so outrageous. So you've got the reporters that want there to be a crime, so they'll phrase it in such a way, whereas they'll be like, the people involved in the case are like, well, what crime, what are you talking about? There have been people who they've attempted to prosecute certain people in the UK,
sure,
where they've gone direct to some of these Chinese vendors, like in Hong Kong and stuff like that. And the images that they put on their website are really quite manipulated. And when the doll arrives in the UK, it's like 3 foot tall. And, you know, he thought it was to be like, you know, 4 or 5 feet, something
sure.
like that. And so, like, and he's gotten off with it in the court case. Because he said, Your Honor, I genuinely thought this was not going to be the height on the doll. It certainly didn't say so on the website.
Yeah, they do.
And that's kind of worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, however, I thought this case was not going in that direction because I thought the magistrate might actually be leaning towards, like, you know, the titillation of this sort of idea. But we went into such, like, degrees of depth on, like, ideas that, like, lack of pubic hair, you might say that indicates a child, but it's like, it's kind of fashionable at the minute. You'd be hard pushed to find a woman these days under 25 with pubic hair.
Absolutely.
All of these sort of things all kind of like push forward to the idea that it's more mature. However, if we're talking lolicon, and I know this kind of divides a lot of people.
Yes.
As there's no child involved, there is no victim, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're not really creating child porn or anything like that, even if they do look very young. Because if you say, well, okay, lolicon comes under child pornographic literature or, you know, whatever way they want to phrase that, you're going down the deep, dark path of thought crime. Because one of the things I was going to bring up in the case, if I could, which it didn't have to happen, but it wasn't brought forward, was to bring a doll into the courtroom and unscrew the head, which I know you can't do with Piper dolls, but this is not the point. If I unscrew the head, I'd like to say to the court, well, have I just committed murder now because I've taken the head off this doll?
Yeah.
And you know, obviously a normal person would just say, well, no, it's a doll, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Well, then, if I engage sexually, let's say masturbate with the doll, because there's only one person present,
sure.
there isn't two, so it can't be sex.
Sure.
Then how is that paedophilia? I would like to know. Or is thought crime actually a thing?
Right. That's frightening. That's very frightening.
I just kind of like, I try and bring this point up with a lot of people, and it divides a lot of people, because a lot of people can see the logic of what I'm bringing forward, and a lot of people just go, no, paedophilia, no.
Yeah. I can see how that might be. The only way that would be possible if they were posting on Discord or something, stuff like they were saying these mass shooters are doing, like, giving warning signs that they're going
and
after.
The federal government's done absolutely nothing about it. Remember
really
the
screwed it up.
Yeah. I mean, there was one shooting where the guy posted on 4chan exactly where he was going to be, what was going to be done, and nothing was done to stop it. Instead, the horrible thing went viral, and the government was trying to prosecute people that had the video. And it's like, you know, you could have done something to stop it instead of prosecuted people who happened to have video of the... I largely blame it on them because they had the information and the warning signs that were there. They should have at least sent some sort of agents there to say, hey, this fellow's a little suspicious. This is, somebody needs to look into this.
Well, see, that's how, only way I think they'd have a case. Of course, you know, the laws there aren't the same laws we have here.
Now...
So.
I'll add something because, you know, recently there's been, I don't want to get too, I don't want to give this person too much publicity, especially in the doll community, because I don't think the doll community wants this person. I've already talked to several people that are in the doll community and they're not fond of him. But this gentleman, he more or less got a doll, considers himself an incel, and goes on social media to post it and talk about just all these horrible, you know, he does post Manosphere points, but then he'll go and post all these horrible things like no women can want me. And of course there were women that have found him very attractive and they're trying to figure out what he's doing. And he's just started a whole, there was a Kiwi Farms and everything else. But at any rate, this guy, he was attracting people. He was attracting all sorts of people. And a friend of mine, who was a former federal investigator, she actually would look up things for the FBI and in other places. And I said, I need you to kind of look at this guy, see what's going on here. And she said, it's not him I'm worried about. She said, I actually found one of his friends that, you know, he's just been clicking the ad button on everybody. Well, one of his friends apparently is a real pedophile. And she was showing me the kinds of things that he was doing online. And I'm like, okay. So what I discovered about these pedophiles is that they're not, these are not the people that go for the dolls. These pedophiles that I have seen from the information that I was shown via screenshots and stuff, they are into real human beings. They don't want a representation. They want the real thing. That's a horrible thing, but they're, not even that. They are basically, okay, to make it short, basically what she showed me on the app there was there are apparently a couple of groups on social networks, popular social networks, that are definitely dealing with this shit. And they're not, and the pictures of the children they're using are clothed pictures. They're all fully clothed, or maybe they're somebody's in a swimsuit, something like that. Now that is considered pedophilia, I mean, to me. In that case, if you're looking, well,
if you're taking pictures of your kid at the swim pool,
well, these pictures they didn't, and they're definitely not the Asian kind of thing. They were definitely looking at American, and she was showing me the kinds of things, and I'm like, oh my God. And basically this guy was like, I'm willing to trade other people for the pictures. So that's what they're doing. They're trading pictures of little girls around with each other. That's what they're doing. They're not going to dolls or anything. So this whole pedophilia argument about the, you know, it's going to encourage pedophilia is complete BS, because these people know what they want, unfortunately, and it is real children. So that's why you have to be very careful. Now, again, there is the, you know, that we're not saying that somebody's actually going to do it. But, I mean, these are pictures of real human children, and they would be the victims in that case. Well, yeah. I mean, they shouldn't, there's no reason why.
Now,
I'm sure.
Trading pictures, that's where
yes,
you
broke
the law.
Yes, they're trading the pictures. And I think that's just a little bit much for me.
Anyway, on the
But that's what they're doing, Phil. They're not doing the other thing. They're not messing with the dolls. And when she showed me that information and talked about the fact that this gentleman was apparently in a low-level, possibly low-level ring, you know, it's scary. You know, because there are some people out there that do things. You know, we do hear about sex trafficking. Obviously, there was an article we went over yesterday, or last week, where a foster child was told to go into sex work. That's scary. It's horrifying to think that, you know, we trust our children with these kinds of people, and that's what they suggest. So, yeah, it's a weird world out there.
As a worker for the agency.
Yeah, it's a weird world out there.
It doesn't surprise me that somebody who's an advocate for the left would suggest to an underage girl to become a sex worker.
Yeah.
They all seem to have like a huge fascination with pedophilia.
Oh, yeah.
Unnaturally so.
It's awful.
Yeah, a lot of grooming.
And it's a lot of these people that are claiming the people that are into anything, be it anime, be it the three-dimensional porn games that I'm into, these new things like being a dick and things that people are into. They would say, oh, those women look underage. It's like they're computer models.
They're cool.
Oh, well, again, this takes us down the dark corridor of thought crime. Because, I mean, how many games have we all played, you know, be it in our teenage years or, you know, last week, doesn't really matter, where you've shot like an awful lot of people up. Now, it doesn't have to be a war game, you know, it could be GTA or something like that, where you're running people over with the car. Yes. Now, if engaging sexually in a computer game where no one has been harmed, no real people have been photographed, and it goes all like, you know, full hentai and all the rest of it.
Sure.
If that's illegal, then surely murder is worse.
Absolutely.
Because like when women get, when they get actually held like with a knife to the neck and, you know, force fuck behind a dumpster, that type of thing, they're always presented with the choice. Do you want to be like raped and live, or do you want me to slice your neck?
Right. Absolutely.
And then presumably still get raped. And they always take life. So the women know that the choice between sort of like sexual assault, rape, and death is an easy one to make, because all women make the same choice.
Right.
So, like, this whole idea, this thought crime idea, makes no logical sense, and yet no one thinks about it.
No one bothers to bring any of this up. And, I mean, it's like the developer of House Party said. He said, look, we can have games where you can go around and chop people up and shoot people. You can have horribly just twisted murder. The most twisted murder you can think of, Phil. Talk about some of the horror games and the, you know, the crazier games that are out there. You can pretty much do anything you want to a person in a virtual world now, if you want to call the modern games more virtual. You can do that. But sex, that's where we draw the line. We draw the line at breasts. We draw the line at, that's too much. I don't get it. It's absolutely ridiculous. You know, they've banned a lot of these games off, you know, platforms. Like Twitch banned a couple of these games, but they have these. At first, they were underage girls that were showing off, you know, parts of their bodies, and it, you know, like what was her name, Amaranth, and the other girl, the Belle Delphine. Both of them were about the age of 16 when they started. That's still very well underage for that platform, which is run by Amazon. And yet they've got this kind of thing on there, but a virtual representation, something that's not even real, has no basis in reality, is considered worse than what these real human beings are doing. And that's just...
Well, what that begins, if you start going down that road and start prosecuting people for this sort of thing, we're at the almost at the position like where the Nazis were burning books and stuff like that.
Yeah, we're getting there. And that's really scary because, see, now one thing I was going to talk about on my show today is we have a rise of a new right. You know, TFM talked about this on the show with you and Drexel, where they were talking about how, you know, they came in and they banned everything. Well, that's going to happen again because, you know, the pendulum swings every once in a while. It's been on the left for a bit, and now it's going to be towards the right, and I'm noticing all these, you know, hardcore right-wingers, and the first thing they're coming after is the same thing that TFM said they would come after a couple of years ago. The pornography, the anime, the hentai, the sex dolls, the sex toys. And we're talking about for men, not for women. Women are special. They're allowed to have the sex toys. The men cannot have the sex toys.
Yeah, I think it's getting confused with all the child grooming and stuff the left is...
Well, they're getting...
trying to combat that.
Yes, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Because, see, what happens, Phil, is the left pushed the right so hard with all this bullshit that, of course, the right's going to come back and retaliate. And when they retaliate, they're going to come back with a vengeance. They're going to be after you, me, and everybody else because of all the things that they went through. Which, again, I mean, you know, what happened in this country? I mean, it's pretty awful. I mean, everything that happened with the election and all that kind of things, I'm not even allowed to talk about. But... oh, I can hear on Alt Tech, but I can't mention it on YouTube. You know, the mass situation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all that kind of... yeah, all those kinds of things. It's really upset people. And, of course, they're going to get Joe Biden out of there. They're going to get somebody in there that's more right-wing, more conservative, and they're going to start pushing for more hardcore conservative-type values because they want to give the left a taste of their own medicine. And then once that kind of banning has gone on, the left, the pendulum will swing again, and the left will come back with a vengeance, and then they'll do it again and again. And it's just going to be chaos in this country for the next couple of...
people retaliating, but I think...
Oh, whoever, no, I think it's going to be...
Whoever runs the country is going to make it beneficial to get votes from either side.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, like, we had a far-left run. Now we're having a far-right run, and it's going to be rough. So, I mean, look, I'm not... I mean, I consider myself, you know, more libertarian, kind of almost independent in some ways. But I have, you know, some conservative values more than I do. But then I have some more liberal values. Because anybody that's messing around with pornographic games in any circumstance is considered a degenerate by most people on the right. A lot of people on the right have straight up called me a degenerate just because of the fact that I play games that people might masturbate to. It doesn't matter if you get any involvement out of the story. It doesn't matter if this is a good story, great characters, nice, good music, something like that. If there's pornography anywhere featured in the game, it's automatically a degenerate thing. You're horrible. You're compared to the most evil thing they can think of. So, I mean, that's what I've been dealing with on the internet, you know, just speaking with these people. And, of course, many of them are very race-centric, you know. They're very pushing on racial politics where, you know, a lot of them are white, you know. And I deal with, you know, what they call the white nationalists. They're very much pushing that kind of thing against the degeneracy. And it's going to get rough, but...
Well, the white nationalists are idiots, though, aren't they? Yes. They don't even put forward like a logical argument for their own case.
No, they don't. But unfortunately, they have gotten a lot of the young people. They have gotten a lot of the young people involved. And most of them, you know, they're the disenfranchised ones that the left turned away. Unfortunately, it's not the right people don't find guys like us. They find more popular outlets, which is weird that people with more white nationalist values can be found instead of most MGTOW guys or stuff like that, where we're like, you know, just work on yourself, you know, try to have a good life, enjoy things. And instead, they find these kinds of people, you know, because they're easier to come across. They're easier to come across. What's his name? Who was the big guy, the big white nationalist guy? I think he's even still got a Twitter page, if I'm not mistaken. That's what I'm saying. They still have these kinds of people there, so they can find them. It's crazy. It's just a really crazy world. I understand where they're coming from, because... they grew up with an age of porn that they never had before, and now they're like, oh, well, porn ruined me because when I was 11 or 12, I was exposed to a lot of pornography because it was easy to find, and now I've got all these issues, and I've got to get rid of all of it. So when they grow up as adults, they're going to remember their struggles. They're not going to worry about people like us that are like, if you want pornography, if I have the pornography. If you don't, you don't. They're like, no, nobody needs to have it because it ruined my life. That's like the guy that drank all the time. Oh, that ruined me, so I don't want anybody to have alcohol. Uh-huh. You know, this is the kind of mentality that they're trying to push. And it's very scary because it's almost as bad as what was on the left. So, I didn't even know this was going on until I talked to a lot of these young people. You know, some of them they're teenagers right now, but they're getting to that age to where they're going to be able to have a more impactful voice in our society. And that kind of frightens me because they will come after me and they'll come after other people. And heck, maybe I'll be going to court one day over things. Who knows? But,
I've mentioned this on dollforum.com. Mm-hmm. But some time ago, I was commenting on, you know, the state of the case because it's, you know, it took years. But I was worried that I might have a feminist leaning magistrate or judge,
sure,
and that would harm everything. And there was some guy I know who's into dolls. He considers himself a feminist, and he says, "Well, you know, I'm not against dolls, but I'm a feminist." But it's that logical fallacy that they all use. I'm not like that, therefore everyone on the left is not like that.
Right.
And it just doesn't make any sense. But that wasn't the point I was making.
Sure.
If you're into dolls, you've got the left who may be against you. The hardcore feminists seem to be okay with it. They seem to hate sex robots for this whole sort of rape training fantasy thing that they've got going on.
Yeah.
But dolls, we seem to have been left alone, although they don't have a great deal of good things to say about us. On the right, they also think it's degenerate and you should just be married with five children.
Yes.
And, you know, when you've been through, like as a MGTOW, through modern life, and you've peered into the soul of female nature, I don't think I could go back, even if you changed the laws to be like advantageous to men again. I tapped out like a while ago. So even if you change the legalities, I'm like, I'm quite happy with the way things are in my life.
Yes.
In that, you know, I've got my own thing going on, and dolls are good for me. They scratch my itch. So I don't have any need to go through all that aggravation, which basically is a woman once again.
And I mean, and again, like when I was talking with them, you know, it's exactly that. But it's not necessarily the fact that the family, they want you to have, of course, a white family. And I'm like, And they said, if you don't, you're like a race traitor. I said, well, fine then. I'll be a race traitor. I'm not really that worried about it. Because when I was going to get married, I was going to marry a Mexican woman. That's exactly what, when I was about 18, 19 years old, her parents wanted me to marry her. That was how it was being set up. I thought it was too young to marry at that age, so we never, ever did it. And, you know, she married someone else, and their relationship didn't go quite well. But, I mean, they were married for many years, but he was a very, you know, horrible kind of guy. Yeah. But, you know, yeah, that was going to be it. That was more or less what I would have had. So, I mean, I told them straight up. I said, look, I was never one of you. Just because I happen to be a white person doesn't mean that, you know, I'm supposed to strictly date this kind of person and do that, because that's not the way I was raised. That's not how I grew up. And if you know, I even told him, I said, look, my doll was originally supposed to be an Asian doll. That's actually something I haven't told many people. But when I first ordered my doll, I said I got plain fair skin or whatever it was, like the normal skin, the regular. And I said, well, it's China, so the default skin would have to be like an Asian color because it's mostly Asian. So I figured if I would pick that, then that's the kind of skin they would give me. Now, I wasn't clarified on that, and that's kind of my fault because I didn't ask. So I ended up with a white dog, which I have no issue with. You know, it's just, of course, my original thing was to get an Asian doll, though. So, I mean, but it's fine. You know, I was like, oh, I'll make the best of it. After all, my doll, you know, when I got the doll from the factory, you know, the eyes were glued in. They messed with the tongue was all just, they, I don't know what the heck they were doing inside the mouth. This is when, what was it name? It wasn't even WM. It was JY. This is when JY was first starting. So a lot of the stuff they had done was just not up to par, you know, to what they can do now. So I wasn't exactly pleased with that one. And, of course, I've told this story before. But needless to say, you know, yeah, I'm okay with my doll. I probably would get another one in another couple of years. And then this time definitely go with the Asian skin or something. But that's not something I want to do.
Well, this is one of the advantages, though, isn't it? I mean, like if you spend a couple of years with a doll and you think, oh, I could do with something a bit different.
Right.
You can kind of do that. Now, if you're married, well, that's, I mean, imagine getting it like a second or a third doll, and then you're going to have to pay the original doll money for no reason.
Absolutely.
To be with its new owner. That would just seem ridiculous, but that's the world we live in at the minute with women.
Now, I wanted to discuss something really interesting, because I told you before I wanted to talk about some doll tech and some ideas. You know, I have all these ideas. And Revy actually inspired me, and so this one goes out to him. If you're watching, Revy, this is for you. Revy has a really good idea. Unfortunately, he's way too busy with all the things he does with engineering, but he wants somebody to at least kind of look at this or tackle this. But one of the things that he's found as an issue with dolls is the fact that the silicone is put onto the skeleton. You can't remove the silicone if the doll has an injury, you know, like, you can't just pull it off. you know, in order to go in and fix an injury, you have to do the soldering and all that, like TFM showed. He said it would be much easier to go in there and just pull it off and, you know, fix the hand or whatever, you know, and then put it back on. And he said, wouldn't it be great if we had a type of doll suit, you know, instead of just selling the dolls themselves, you could sell the suit, like a silicone suit. No, not an exoskeleton.
Yeah.
A silicone suit of the doll. That way, if something gets replaced, you could just, I mean, something gets messed up, you just throw the silicone suit away and you buy a brand new silicone suit. Or if you want to try something different, it's another suit of silicone, which is a fascinating idea and something I never even thought of. Now, it would weigh quite a bit. And I joked around and I said, well, that sounds like something out of Silence of the Lambs, if you would look at, you know, if you'd open up somebody's closet, you know, and they'd have all these little silicone doll suits sitting in there. But I think it's a great idea. And he said that's what he was really trying to do, find a way to get it. He said even like a zipper in the back, which, I mean, if it's not too noticeable, that would be a great idea. You just unzip the doll, the thing, pull it right off, and then you go ahead and you fix what you need to on the doll. That saves a lot of time. And, you know, and some people are really attached to their dolls. They're not ready to throw away a doll they've had, even if they've had the doll for 15 years.
Are there any innovations like that now?
Well, not to my knowledge. But what do you think about all that, Phil?
Well, there's been a bit of a movement back in the direction of like detachable limbs. I've just sold a 6YE doll to somebody with like detachable legs.
Wow.
And I mean, certainly with that sort of idea, if the skeletal part of a leg was to break, you could technically just get like a new limb.
Yeah.
But then if you were to be able to slide the TPE off, for example,
the
immediate problem that you have, because like I've opened dolls up and put them back together, what the TPE grips to is there's like a fabric that they tightly weave around the joint so the TPE can't get into the joint so that the doll can move freely.
Okay.
And it kind of binds to that idea. Now, against let's say the shin bone on the lower leg, that doesn't actually have the fabric around it. It does around the knee, it does around the ankle, but like this, the shin bone itself, it doesn't. So very often the TP will come away from the shin bone, and that's when you can kind of rotate the TP flesh, if you like, around the shin bone and it can point in the wrong direction. This is the problem that you'll have with detachable TP or silicon. Now, if there's a way to fix that in place, you know, whether that's even like almost like a crocodile clip inside the skeleton kind of idea, so it nips onto the TPE or silicon holds it in place. That could be a way to do that. Because if you do have detachable skin or flesh, and, you know, you can kind of remove, I don't know if Rebbe was talking about the whole body in one piece, or like detaching the limbs by one, then, I mean, there are advantages to either fashion.
Mm-hmm.
If you like, and I don't think the entire market will go for it, but because there's certain areas of the market who prefer this idea of detachable limbs for storage and stuff like that,
sure,
they will immediately be able to see a benefit to this, because I don't know if Revy was thinking of this, but one of the problems that many of the manufacturers have is that over time, like say, you know, 5-6 years or something, you've had your doll, you might notice like a knee or a shoulder is starting to become quite loose.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you had detachable flesh and you can take that off, I would personally encourage the manufacturers to stop spot welding all of the joints.
Right.
Because they'll put it's just a nut and bolt and they tighten it up and then they spot weld the nut into place. You can't detach it. So you've got to saw the thing off and replace the whole nut and bolt. But if they weren't spot welded, you can take the flesh off and retighten any of the joints that you want. So longevity of the dolls could, in theory, go up. Right. Even if you injured the flesh, you could order new flesh, and you don't have to order a completely new doll.
And, of course, I have another... Now, this is one of my suggestions that I was considering. You know, another thing that I've always, you know, I've looked at the doll skeletons, you know, that they still have over there in the factories, and they're full steel, and we know about the weight of steel. But, you know, I was talking about this with Revy, and of course, it's not a 100%, you know, it's not like something perfect. But I always wondered why they didn't go with a thick, hard plastic. You know, I wondered why they always would use the steel instead of a thick, hard plastic. Because I always figure if they make them more like, I don't know, like Legos on the inside, where you could just snap the joints in, or like an action figure, you know, you snap the joints in.
Plastic has actually been used before with, it's called the EX Lite, like part of DS dolls. And, for like a regular guy size, guy weight, I don't think that was that much of a problem. The problem they had with this model was that it had like a polyurethane skin, and it would wrinkle and it tore easily, and so that wasn't a real great thing. It was more of a photographic doll than an actual sex doll.
Well,
but like if you've got a guy who's like sort of 400-500 pounds and he's heaving away on top of it like a doll with a plastic skeleton, I don't expect that to survive.
It's a very good idea. Yeah, it's a very good. But I was saying, I know what you're talking about with those kind of dolls. But I was talking about, just put the silicone skin over the plastic. And for, you know, obviously you'd have to tell the customer, well, look, if you're a bit on the larger side, this doll may not, you know, this may not be a good idea for you. But if you're a lighter kind of person, or you can handle
have weight limits on some equipment,
right?
If you sell it as equipment, you can put weight limits and different parameters on it.
So I mean, I've always wondered why they didn't try this again with the silicone instead of the foam. I figured it would work pretty well. I mean, you could do the same thing that you do with the other doll, you know, you could even use the metal, like the nuts and bolts and everything else that you use in the steel. You could use that with the plastic.
I had thought of this, like, use like a great steel or some alloy or something like that for the joints.
Right.
And then my thought was to then slide into the joints. I mean, even if you have to hammer them in, it's not really important, but then use sort of like a carbon fiber.
Yes. Yeah, and I think that would just be...
I'd imagine it'll push the price up, unfortunately, but when you're just throwing around ideas to lighten the dolls. Now, I mean, it's only half of the weight is the skeleton, because it's surprising how heavy both TPE and silicon is.
Wow. Hmm. Well, I mean, that would half the weight. I mean, half the weight is still... I mean, TFM, he says, what is it, 120 pounds, I think he said, Celestina is. So if you could lower that...
Oh, no, she's only about 76. Haley's about 120.
Oh, Haley's 120. Well, if you take...
It's like a full-size woman.
In shape. Yeah. 120 pounds, you'd lower that to about 60. And that would definitely change things. And then you've got a 70...
Well, we do have the relatively new technology, which is copying the silicon dolls, in that you have the steel skeleton, and around the steel skeleton you have like a thermoplastic foam that can handle hot TPE, and then they inject mold the TPE around the foam. So you're not using as much TPE, and that drops the weight by about 25%, which is significant.
Yes, absolutely. Now, another thing I would like to see done, this is the problem that I have with a lot of, you know, having a doll for a long time, I can actually attest to this now. My most difficult problem owning a doll is the application of the eyelashes and the, you know, the fact that the makeup just fades after a while. What I would like to see is a way that you could possibly, I don't know how they could do it, because I know even factory makeup, that when you airbrush the doll, it eventually fades as well. But I'm trying to figure out if there's a way that they could, I don't know, make it to where you could just put on a new makeup mask or something. I don't know. Something that you could put on, like peel over the doll's face.
In theory, in fact, Real Doll of California, they kind of have like like what I would call like a facial map, which you kind of stretch on, kind of button on at the back of the head. So you could put any face onto a skull, if you like. So rather than have to buy like a new head every time, where you've spent most of the money on, you know, like the back of the head and the skull and stuff, you already have that. To be able to put a fresh face onto the doll, I think would be a great idea. And if you had a few moving areas, such as like brow, cheekbones, and like the bits which attach to the corners of the mouth, you could actually get facial expressions rather than having to rely on things like FaceApp for photography.
I mean, it's interesting because there's, you know, there's so many things that I just, you know, like to be customization is something I've always been into. Like we have.
Oh, but one of the things that you were mentioning as well about eyelashes, which everyone seems to have a bit of a moan about, certainly in the TP world. Well, in the silicon world, at the high end dolls, they've started implanting the eyelashes. Okay. So they start off inside the eye orbital, if you like, and they go through the silicon and out where you would normally see eyelashes be. That's the upper or lower eyelashes. And they last for years.
That would be great. See, that's what I would need. See, I want something where you don't necessarily have to use a lot of apps. See, I like TFM's tips and things, but there's a lot of times where I'd just be like, I kind of want this to not be... you know, to have to apply it over and over and over again. You know, they even have platinum TPE that you don't have to powder anymore, right? So, you know, if they can kind of get something like that going, then it would be great if you could just have a doll and you didn't have to worry about it drying out and you could just, you know, be there, spend time with it. And, you know, there you go. You wouldn't have to, you know, constantly do all the maintenance and all the things. I mean, I'm not trying to say completely get rid of it, because we'll never...
Essentially what you're talking about, and a lot of people have made this transition historically. If you don't like maintenance and you want the facial coloring, the makeup, if you like, stuff to last like a very long time, people tend to go silicon. Now, of course, the downside of going from TP to silicon always was that silicon feels stiffer.
Sure.
Now, I had a customer, he had like a real sort of anime sort of fetish thing, so I thought he was going to go for like an anime style doll, but he ended up with one of these, like a humanoid kind of, I think it was a cat face, I think they do a rabbit face and a dog face, this manufacturer, Elsa Babe. But because it was him, and I'd known him for a while, it didn't come as a surprise that he went for something a bit on the more exotic side.
Oh, yeah.
But he asked for the extra soft silicon, and he had it delivered to me so I could check everything over, make sure everything was fine, and then he was going to come and collect.
Sure.
So obviously I've got to check the doll for any silicon tears or anything like that, and I was surprised. The softest silicon that I have felt in the business, comparable with TPE.
Wow.
You know, it has all the benefits of that. The you can implant hair with silicon a lot better and stuff like that, so eyelashes, or you can implant head hair, which would last a lot longer than it would do on TPE. The makeup will last a lot longer, and it has the softness. So I just, the only thing I need to find out about that brand is the longevity of the dolls, but I don't hear an awful lot of complaints about Elsa Babe.
No, Elsa Babe, I think, is a great company. They're also the ones that, if I'm not mistaken, are doing the really custom inserts. Like, they've got one that's an insert.
Yes, they are.
That I would actually...
Well, speaking of which, I was considering of getting a few Dollhouse exclusive... Jinsan custom inserts, which would only be available through the Dollhouse. That is something I'm still toying with the idea. I don't know how popular it would be.
Well, I definitely like, if you would get some of those Elsa Babe ones, I would definitely pick some of those up because I've looked at them. And those are even, you know, they're good outside the doll. So, I mean, yeah, I'd definitely be interested in those because I was looking at the designs. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. This one feels like tentacles and this one feels like, oh, yeah, these are really weird. I've looked at the insides of them. I had a picture. It would take me forever to find and put in the Discord. But if anybody wants to go into the Elsa Babe website where they're featured, definitely check those out. And if you're looking for the anime, like, I mean, perfect. As far as the anime doll that everybody was talking about back in TFM's server, that's as close as you're going to get to an anime character. I'm sorry. That is... Some of those girls that they showed on there are just the spitting image of the anime look, what it's supposed to be. And I was very surprised that they got
for people around. Like us, though, mm-hmm. I mean, we would look at, perhaps less so you, Grim, mm-hmm. but, I mean, like, I know what anime is. I've, about as far as I've dabbled into that sort of arena would be, like Cowboy Bebop, and like, you know, I don't watch any ReZero or any of the other stuff.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So I know what it looks like, and to me, I look at these dolls and call it, yeah, that is a spitting image. It's perfect. But when I speak to anime fans, there's always something wrong with the doll, so they won't buy. So it's very difficult to actually make an anime fan happy with a doll.
Maybe they're just not, maybe they're one that's just not happy with a doll, period. Because, I mean, if you can't, I'm going to be honest, as much of the anime as I've seen and played and things, and I've looked at these, you know, with all my years of anime and all the visual novels, everything I play, I'm like, that looks just like the 2D drawing that these people are crazy about.
It depends on the anime style, too.
No, like, it looks Blade just looks like it.
From Cowboy Bebop.
I'm talking about it looks just like it. We're not talking about the 90s. We're talking about something that features the more moe look that a lot of these younger men want. I don't particularly like the moe look. It's got an innocent look, which I understand, but I'm more into this 90s. Like when you mentioned Cowboy Bebop and Faye Valentine, that's what I'm talking about. Something along those lines. But these modern ones, you know, they're into that moe thing, and that's what they're looking for. And I looked at Elsa Babe, and I'm like, yep, that's it.
This is going to raise a lot more questions, though, because for all that I've gone through this court case, and I've made small breast and large breast legal.
Yeah.
So I put them back on the website, which is great, but it doesn't really have that much of an impact on other models.
Yes.
And if we start going down the anime line, I don't know what people are going to make of that.
Yes. I'm not in any way advocating for something that's going to cause even more trouble. I mean, obviously, you already found out what happens with the Pipers, which the Piper were the first one that TFM used to say were the closest to anime. Now the Elsa Babes have come along. But what about the Game Ladies? You said something about maybe trying to stock the Game Lady dolls. Because those are fantastic.
Oh, yeah, I've got them listed on the UK site. I don't really have a problem with them.
Yeah, they're quite... Yeah.
And because there's that character, is it Ellie from Last of Us?
Yes.
She's one of the dolls. The left will have nothing to say about that doll ever. But I mean, you know, just even if you didn't know who the character was, you could look at the doll and go, yeah, she's mature. There's nothing childlike about
right.
her.
Right.
If you look at that character and then see a child, then you're the one with the problem, not the doll.
Right. Yeah, I understand completely on that one. But yeah, they're good, great. Who makes them, by the way? Didn't you say there was a certain factory that makes them, that a certain company, right?
I did, well, the Zelex manufacturer, who is handling all of like the marketing and, they talk to the factory and do stuff like that, but it's not Zelex themselves that actually make them. That's the weird thing. And I've asked them enough times, and they won't tell me who the manufacturer is for whatever reason. I'll end up finding out on the grapevine through somebody else, but I will find out in time.
Oh, yeah.
But apparently the people who own Game Lady are a London-based setup, so I'm surprised I haven't spoken to them in real life yet.
Wow, now that is surprising, because I know their dolls are not able to be sold in Japan for obvious reasons. There was a couple of them they had to remove. Sony would probably get rather upset about their Final Fantasy. I mean, these are the spitting image of the video game characters. I was pretty shocked. You know, and of course, there's a gentleman in Drexel's server that wants a Samus Aran. So see, if they start messing around with Nintendo, then of course they're going to get the Nintendo's lawyers. So it could get rather messy for them, but I still really applaud the work that they've done. Because a lot of people, like you said, are into computer game characters. That's what they want. And I mean, like I said, I'm all about free speech and giving people the rights to have what they want. So more power to them.
I mean, one of the things that they have done, though, which is obviously if they're going full character based for the doll, I applaud them for the fact that they went and got the custom cosplayer outfits, which fit perfectly. Because wow. I've had tailor-made cosplay outfits made, like for Celestina and so forth,
right.
And they still never fit very well. That's the problem. Whereas these Game Lady stuff, they're absolutely spot on. Like the Tifa outfit and stuff like that, and the Aerith outfit.
Amazing.
Really good.
It was amazing. Now, before we go ahead and end this one, I'm going to ask if anybody has any questions that they might want to ask in the server. Let me go check and see if anybody... If you got any questions, let's see. Cookie T says, well, they argue that the doll wouldn't cost that much. I'm thinking they will try to get some small wins just because they lost big.
Lost big how?
There is this kind of idea I'd mentioned with Drex, that because all I was trying to do was bloody their nose a little bit. I wasn't actually trying to lay them flat out on their back, legally speaking. Which went and happened, which that means I'm going to have to be careful now because they're going to be watching me.
Yes.
So I'd like any slight mistakes that I make, that we're going to go all the way back to court again just so they can try and get a win.
Yes. Maybe they were avoiding the idea of discussions of a thought crime in the first place, is what Cookie says.
Might be, but it's in court, though, it depends what the magistrate or judge thinks about it. There's no jury to convince.
Okay. Let's see. Will the right still have a problem with anime when you won't bother anyone with it? Yes, they will. What do you think is the reason the sex robots are worse for the feminists? I can answer this one. It's because they are afraid of despite the fact that a machine is basically based on an algorithm, like Revy has talked about, they think that because it appears sentient, that it is sentient, and because it can apparently or emulate the feeling of thinking on its own, that is a human being. But it is not a human being. It is a algorithm that emulates a human action. And so you would have to consent, and it doesn't have a consent module. Or they were thinking about putting a consent module in. I think Real Doll talked about that with their animatronics things that they've got going on right now. So it's a very tough issue. But they particularly don't like the fact that the robot would not be able to consent. That's their issue there.
Well, this is certainly the reasoning that they bring up.
Yes.
I think that those feminists know that... If you get like the AI good enough, it doesn't have to be perfect, but just good enough that it will be better than a real woman. Because none of these feminists can actually have a relationship without bitching and moaning at their man. And this doll will just be so much better. And they can see the end of the road already once AI is integrated into dolls.
See, there was a film that was made. Now, we were going to try to play this on the show. Unfortunately, it's, you know, when a newer movie comes out, you have copyrights and things. So even though we'd want to do commentary on it, we really can't. Maybe we can talk about the film afterwards.
Probably clip.
But we might be able to do that. But it's called Wife-like. And it's a movie that just released. And apparently, according to a Manosphere video, that the movie proves that the robots will be successful replacements for real women. Like, the movie pretty much demonstrates why... a robot is going to be better. So, I mean, that's... You've more or less said it. I've spoken with a woman about this recently, how they were, she was an escort, and she basically said, she said, well, I said, real women are always going to be better. And I said, well, think about it like this. It's not so much the sex, it's the drama portion. And she literally said to me, she says, yeah, there are women that don't have any drama, which I don't believe. And she said, but they're very, very rare. So she even admitted that if you happen to find this non-existent woman that doesn't have any drama that comes with her, it's still going to be very hard. So she's basically like, you're going to have to accept that women have drama. And I say to myself,
I don't even think those women qualify, because if you don't get drama from the woman, you'll get drama credit by her, that woman's friends. Yes, so it's all the same.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And let's see, you can probably do simulated. You can probably do simulated emotions in a video game simulator, at least a fundamental simulation that a person is looking for. A VR game, for example. Absolutely. We've talked about this. And one thing I was thinking about was eventually taking like an augmented reality glasses and maybe having doll bodies, but they don't have anything on them, but they react to augmented reality. So you could take basically an image of a computer game character, and you basically look at the doll body, and you would see that character instead of the doll itself. You would just see what they look like. So that might be interesting. I think it's something.
I had discussed this idea with a robotics guy over in the UK once, mm-hmm. and what we were discussing was like something that you wouldn't be happy to look at as such, but ergonomically it was so perfect to fit the male physique, it's actually better than the real thing in terms of sex.
Wow.
So if you combine that with the augmented reality, that should be perfect.
Wow. That might be like that movie 2064 or whatever, because it didn't look that the thing that the guy was using wasn't all that attractive, but when he put his VR thing on, it was absolutely perfect. I mean, and I think we will get to that level of virtual reality where things just look amazing. Like, I think we're getting there. We're getting closer and closer to it. And another thing Revy wanted to bring up was 3D printing of dolls. He's saying, you know, we should have, eventually they can get a doll model. Now, of course, you're going to have to buy your silicone and everything else. But he says that you just take a doll model and you make it, you have it small first, and then you just enlarge in that in a program, and eventually you can have a 3D printer farm where you can 3D print your own dolls and have your own basically run out of home factory, where you basically print and sell like that. Now that would be amazing.
Again, something I kind of discussed with people, because there is like a TP filament that you can buy for 3D printing. It's a lot harder than what we would be used to, but like, you know, let's give it time.
Sure.
To let them develop that. Now, if you can 3D print the dolls, you know, like a composite carbon fiber skeleton and stuff like that, and then sort of a silicon or TPE around that, you could then build in like a honeycomb structure to the flesh, be that TPE or silicon, and then so you lose a lot of weight doing that as well, because you'll have little air pockets in the flesh which will maintain the softness, but then you'll drop about 50% of the actual TPE silicon.
Okay. Yeah, so I mean, this industry is always open for innovation, which I love, because when people would ask me, you know, why, you know, I got a doll, it wasn't just for the companionship aspect. I have always considered myself kind of an artist. I was the guy that, you know, those little games with the character creators, you know. I would be one of those guys that would just spend hours and hours designing a character. And I'm talking about for something like wrestling. I'm not talking about a game where you, you know, have sex with the character. But then I happened upon Honey Select. And I'm like, oh my God, I can literally customize every single part of this character. From the length of the fingers to the just everything. And that's why I'm always up for more customization options, because to me, this is like my creative character. You're creating your own partner. Maybe you want this today, that tomorrow. You know, humans are always, you know, we don't usually stick to one thing. That's one thing I've noticed. That's why we have a lot of cheating, because sometimes people just don't want their partner. And of course, you know, people change, and, you know, people change in many ways, not just by their weight and things like that, but they change their personality, and you're like, oh, this isn't the same kind of person that I remember marrying. And, you know, but with this issue, you have, you know, you program its personality, so you can change the personality. If you don't like the personality, you'll say, well, hey, maybe I want this today. Maybe I want that. Like Kajiwoto, it's got so many different little personalities that you can buy. You know, TFM has made a few of those, and you can switch them up all the time. And I think that's good. I think that's something that we should have the ability to have. And, of course, there's people that are against it because they're like, oh, well, you know, that defies nature. And my argument to that is we've defied nature for the last couple of thousand years. You know, they said that humans would never fly in big planes, you know, would never fly. And we have these giant metal birds that we fly around in, and they go so fast that you can be in another area in a matter of hours. You know, where back in the olden times, you'd be on a boat and it would take you years to reach a certain continent. So that's what I'm saying here. We've got so many things that we've done that are unnatural, like video games are unnatural. Even the drinking water system that we have is not natural.
Food preservation.
Everything that we've done is not based in nature. So that's why I don't get these return to monk people. You know, they're like, oh, we got to return to monk and primitive. And I'm like, you don't realize that the life expectancy in those times was 30. It was about 30 years old because we didn't have quite the technology that we do now.
Or modern medicine.
Yeah, modern medicine, all the things that we have now that these people just want to go back to because they don't like. I mean, obviously, there are some people that are more Luddites. They don't get it. They don't like the fact that they figure more people should be marrying. And I looked at Japan recently where they talked about that. You know, women, they can now marry for love as compared to omiai marriages, which is where they would just pick, the family would pick the partner and you wouldn't know anything about them and they just got married and it worked. Well, now that the women can say, hey, I don't want to marry a man unless he makes 4 million yen. And the percentage of men that make 4 million yen in Japan is probably about 5%. And then if we're talking about the middle-aged men that they would go for, well, that's only 27%. So most of these Japanese women, you know, they're not marrying for love, they're marrying for money. So why do you think a lot of Japanese men have said, well, fuck this? And he even said, Mashita is the guy's name on YouTube, but he even said that men have more money for themselves now. So because men have more money for themselves and they're buying these things like these sex dolls and anime and, you know, figurines and visual novels, all these kinds of things, that the women, they don't have money anymore because they were relying on the men to make the money so they could pretty much be financially secure and basically get the man's paycheck. So, see, you know, we're doing all these new things now because they want to marry for love or money or whatever. We're saying, no, we don't want to do that anymore. We'd rather have dolls. We'd rather have holograms or whatever else they got. You know, we have choices and options. And that's one thing I've always figured going your own way means. It means I don't have to do this anymore. If I don't want a woman, I can have this, I can have that, I can have these other things. I don't actually have to have a woman because society tells me to.
I think it leads down to they're getting more dependability out of a doll than they are.
Yes, they're getting more dependability. They're like, I don't get what I want from a woman from this doll.
Well, used to, they would, but now with society changing.
Oh, yeah, it's... Well, I mean, it's not changing back. That's the thing. When I'm talking about the new right, they're going to try very hard to push it back. They're going to try to push us back to the 1950s. It's not going to work.
Aspects might change, but it won't fully change.
No, it's not going to work because in order to roll us all back, you'd have to get rid of the technology. And unless we have some sort of weird, you know, technical solar storm that knocks out the power grid for a number of years.
You never know.
Yeah.
Who we got running the country.
No, you never know. But what I'm saying is, yeah, so far that seems to be the issue. All right, Phil. Well, I know it's very late over there, so I don't want to keep you up any later than you have to be. But thank you so much.
It's no problem. I went to sleep early, so I'm fresh.
Okay, that's cool. Great. Well, we appreciate you being on here with us. I know that you were very busy and you were trying to, you know, get all this stuff handled with the courts. And I'm glad everything worked out with the Crown and, you know, just good, positive stuff, which is what we need when it comes to dolls, you know. Mm-hmm. More people are getting into them. Obviously, you may have read that article where the woman had the doll made in her image and they basically, they're a couple. And she says that she got attached to the doll and he got attached to the doll. So they're actually sitting and watching movies with the doll. I mean, they're becoming more mainstream, Phil. It's something that people are getting more into. This isn't something that's going away. So I'm glad.
Yeah, people could never understand that couples have been buying dolls for a while. They've been keeping it very low key because, you know, people might get upset. But now that it's getting into the mainstream, I would imagine a lot more couples will do it.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, you know, like, not to bang the MGTOW drum, like, if you're banging a doll and you've got a wife, it sounds like you need to get rid of the wife to me, but, you know, that's just my taste.
Right, absolutely. I understand. But you did say that your primary customer, as of right now, is couples. Right now, you said that...
They are a demographic, but they're still not the primary. It's still more likely to be divorcees.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I thought it was the couples that were the primary. I must have misheard on that. But okay, that's good. That's good to know. All right, Phil. Well, we're gonna go ahead and get off. And I thank everybody for joining us. This has been really good. It's been insightful. We got to throw some doll ideas around, and you know, you're always welcome. If you ever want to do a show, or I, you know, decide we want to do something, we'll see you, and you know, see you on that aspect.
Oh yeah.
But
great stuff.
Yep. All right. Well, this is the Grim Lord and Dead Penetration, and Phil, and we are out. You can go check out the Dollhouse at www.doll. What is it? Go ahead and do it, Phil. You're better at it than I am.
The three W's .the-doll-house.com.
Yeah, and you'll get good service there because you'll be talking to this man and he won't screw you over, trust me. He just spent 40,000 pounds to make sure that a customer was given the best service that you've possibly given since.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, we're out. See you guys later.